This is Cross Hope, a daily word of hope and inspiration with Randy Snyder, Senior Minister of Crossview Christian Church. Now, with today's message from Cross Hope, here's Randy Snyder.
Cameron Holly is an author who wrote a book with this title called The Hurricane Years. The Hurricane Years. It has nothing to do with hurricanes in Florida, has nothing to do with hurricanes in New Orleans. It describes the period of time in a man or woman's life when the pressures build to the danger point. He believes that when tired men and women drive themselves blindly toward no clear or rewarding goals, that's what happens. He calls it the hurricane years. And I would suspect that that may even describe people here who you're not sure why you do what you do. You're not sure why you push yourself the way you do, and you've seen other people in your family, you've seen other people in your company, you've seen other people in your extended circle, and you wonder, why did they do that for 40 years, only to just end one day? And we're going to talk about what makes for real success in life, and I've got a question mark after the word successful. Successful in whose eyes? In whose eyes are you successful, if you are a success? That's the question today. And we're going to look at a passage of Scripture in a few minutes from the book of Joshua, where he defines success for us in a way that my guess is most people in this room have never heard of. When I was in college, I subscribed to a magazine that was called Success Unlimited. I don't think it's in publication anymore. At least I've researched it on the web and couldn't find it. The day came when it dawned on me that life is not about success unlimited, it's about doing the will of God. Your life is not about unlimited success, it's about unlimited obedience to the Word and the will of God. That's what life really is about. And I got to the place where I really had a sense of conviction that success unlimited thinking, or theology, even to use that term, is self-centered, it's self-absorbed, it's all about what you can do, and you have the wherewithal, and you have the power, and you have the capability and ability, and all you need to do to be a success, get this, is to simply reach down and draw in from within what's there. You know what that is? I believe that's a lie. I believe now in my life that it's a lie, that all of our success ultimately is not connected to within and pulling on our, drawing on our inner strength. It's all about the Lord. He's the one who gives success and prosperity. He's the one who grants the ability, Deuteronomy says, even to earn a living. Even the ability, the very ability to earn a living is a gift from God, Deuteronomy says, so that no one can boast that they've pulled themselves up by their own bootstraps. Well, let's look at success today and prosperity by looking at Joshua, the first chapter. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave to you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then, underline the word then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go.
Well, today we begin a brand new series from the Old Testament book of Joshua. Tune in tomorrow on Cross Hope, channel 131 on XM Sirius to continue this message exactly where we leave off today. God bless you. And now then, today, part two of a message we began yesterday from the Old Testament book of Joshua. You may consider yourself a success. The question this week is, successful in whose eyes?
God always has a Joshua. That has nothing to do with the message, but this is just a parenthetical thought. God always has a Joshua. Moses has died. And I'm sure there were people that would say, This thing is going to fold, or Moses is gone. But God always has a Joshua. Always has a Joshua. Someone to carry on the leadership or the ministry, whatever the case may be. And my point is this, no one is indispensable in the kingdom of God. Beware the preacher who thinks he's indispensable. Beware the Christian leader who says, this thing can't operate without me, it's all tied into me. Have I met people like that? You better believe I have. I've known people like that, that think that everything hinges on them. Everything hinges on their leadership and their wisdom. And you say, what do you call that? I call it arrogance. I call it pride. I call it presumptuousness. God always has a Joshua. Let me bring up the first of 4 points. What matters more than who stands against us is who stands with us. Somebody needs to write that down in your heart, if not in your notes today. What matters more than who stands against us is who stands with us. If we could, I'd like to bring up verse 5 again. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. What you need to know in life, it doesn't matter ultimately who is against you, but who's standing with you. And you have the promise of the Lord himself who says, I will never leave you or forsake you. Somebody needs to hear that today. Because you may be up against something or someone that's standing up against you. There's a problem in your life. It may not be a person. It may be a situation. And what you've got to focus in is not who's against me or what's against me. You need to focus on the one who's with me. The ministry of the Holy Spirit is to come alongside and to be there for us. And you know what? Some of you have experienced that, past tense. Some of you are experiencing that now, and I've got news for you. Some of you will experience it in the future where you won't feel like standing emotionally, and the Lord comes alongside the one who said to Joshua, I will never leave you or forsake you. And that's the God who speaks to you, and that's the promise the Lord has made to you through the Holy Spirit. He is the comforter, the one who comes alongside. What matters more than who stands against us is who stands with us. Let's bring up number 2. Strength and courage are needed for most things we face in life. 3 times in the verses I read, the Lord tells Joshua, be strong and courageous. And you know what? I used to think that the Lord was telling Joshua, you be strong in your strength and you be courageous in your courage. And then it dawned on me, that's not what it means. Listen carefully. Some of you need to hear this. The courage that you need is found in the Lord. The strength that you need is not found in you, it's found in the Lord. And what you and I simply do are rely on His strength and His courage. That's what it means to be strong and courageous, to look to the Lord. So many people think that they're strong on their own, and you know what? God delights, the Bible says in Corinthians, in using our weakness to demonstrate God's strength. Isn't that just the opposite of what you'd think in the culture? God says, I delight in using your weakness to demonstrate or manifest my strength. Strength and courage are needed for most things we face in life, but those 2 things come from the Lord. Don't ever forget that. It's His strength and His courage that He gives. Number 3, partial obedience to the Lord is really disobedience. Now, I said this at the 8:45 hour. I really believe this is true. Most people, when you hear that today, you're going to write it down in your notes and you say, okay, I believe that. I understand that. But there's a man in this room today. I don't know who you are. That's going to hit you like a laser. There's a woman in this room. I have no idea who you are, and it's none of my business who you are. But those words of number 3 are going to just sink into your heart, just like a spotlight is coming out of the ceiling right on you, that partial obedience is really disobedience to the Lord. The best illustration I can come up with to illustrate it is from marriage. What if your spouse, those of you that are married, your spouse came home one day and said, I just want you to know that I am mostly faithful to you. And then they smiled. I'm mostly faithful to you. Most of the time, 90% of the time, I am faithful to you, and I want you to know that, and you should be proud of me that 80 or 90% of the time I'm faithful to you. If you're normal, you would say, back up. Time out. What do you mean you're mostly faithful? You are either faithful or you're unfaithful. And you are either obedient to the will of God or we're living in disobedience. I don't mean to be melodramatic or whatever, but it's true. Partial obedience to the Lord is really disobedience. That's why the Lord says, obey everything I give you to do. But let's bring up verse 7 if we can. Be strong and courageous. Be careful to obey all the law. All the law my servant Moses gave to you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. That's a figure of speech to say, don't turn to the right or left. Don't be distracted. You ever notice that when you read the Bible, you take any time out, I guarantee you, you will have distractions. Somebody will turn on the TV. Somebody will ask you a question, and there's always distractions to the Word of God in your life and in my life. And the Lord told Joshua, don't look to the right, don't look to the left. Focus on my Word. Meditate on it. Let it be in your mouth, which means to speak it. Listen carefully. You can't meditate on the law or speak it if you never read it. You understand what I'm saying? If you never read the Bible and study God's Word, you can't meditate on it, and you can't talk about it, and you can't follow it if you don't read the Word of God. People always ask me this question, what does it mean to meditate on the Word of God? And it's not original with me. Joyce Meyer, some of you listen to Joyce Meyer, she's got the best answer for that question. She says when people ask her, how do you meditate on the Word of God? She says this, do you know how to worry? Everybody says, oh yeah, I know how to worry. If you know how to worry, you know how to meditate on the Word of God. When you worry about a problem, you think about it, you mull it over, you're working it through in your mind, and meditating on the Word of God is the same process. To meditate on the Word of God is to mull it over and to think about how it applies to your life. It's one of the most important things we do. Let's bring up number 4, if we could. Success and prosperity are defined differently by the Lord. If I were to ask each of you to write down on a piece of paper what success means and what prosperity means, we would all put the same things, and I'm including myself. Meeting our short-range goals, meeting our long-range goals, meeting our strategic goals, that's success. Having things, having money, that's success and prosperity. But I want to give you the Lord's definition. To be successful and prosperous in the world means this to the Lord, to be in a right relationship with the God who made you. If I were to ask each of you to write down on a piece of paper what success means and what prosperity means, we would all put the same things, and I'm including myself. Meeting our short-range goals, meeting our long-range goals, meeting our strategic goals, that's success. Having things, having money, that's success and prosperity. But I want to give you the Lord's definition. To be successful and prosperous in the world means this to the Lord, to be in a right relationship with the God who made you. That's what success is. To be able to die and say, I was in a right relationship to the God who made me through His Son, Jesus Christ. That's success. You say, why would you say that? Because of what Jesus said. Jesus said, what should it profit a man or woman if they gain the whole world, but they lose their soul in the process? What good is it? If somebody gains everything, we're not talking about gaining 20 acres of property in your dream house. What if you gain the whole world, but you lose your soul? What have you really gained? Jesus, I think, had that in mind when he said, what would you put on one side of the scale to equal your soul? And you know what the rhetorical answer is? Nothing. There is absolutely nothing equal to the value of your soul. Success and prosperity are defined differently by the Lord. I want to give you this closing thought, if we could bring that up and close with a story. Success is ultimately connected not to what we have or have accomplished, but to the one who is with us. Would you get that again? Success is ultimately connected not to what we have or what we've accomplished, but to the one who is with us. I want to share a powerful story that I shared at the first service. I think it'll speak to somebody today. I don't know how many of you remember a name from the news from years ago, a man by the name of Terry Fox from Canada. Just out of curiosity, does anybody even register with that name, Terry Fox from Canada? A few people know who I'm talking about. Here's his story. Terry Fox was from British Columbia, Canada, early 70s. He was 22 years old when he found out that he had a rare form of bone cancer. Most of one leg had to be amputated. It was while he was recovering that he got the idea of running a marathon, not 26-mile marathon, but a marathon across Canada. After months of training, he began his run at St. John's, British Columbia, on April 12, 1980. He ended it on September 1st of that year in Thunder Bay, Ontario, a considerable distance away, to say the least. At first, his story was given a few lines on the back pages of Canadian newspapers. But by the time he had finished, he had inspired millions of people all over the world, helping to raise $24 million for research in the process. Although Terry Fox was dying, and he knew it, he found the strength to do something that he ordinarily couldn't do. Alive with hope, he made his last year on Earth a meaningful and exciting adventure. He died a national hero, I think, in June 28, 1981. Here's my point. If a man by the name of Terry Fox, with one leg, can say, I'm going to determine, I'm going to train, I'm going to make it my goal to run across Canada, and he was able to accomplish it with cancer, dying cancer, what does that say to you and to me about what we can accomplish spiritually, get this, with the Lord with us? I'm not talking about you doing something great for the Lord on your own, in your own strength and in your own power. I'm asking you to partner with the greatest partner you can ever partner with, and that is the Lord God Almighty. I'm not talking about you doing something great for the Lord on your own, in your own strength and in your own power. I'm asking you to partner with the greatest partner you can ever partner with, and that is the Lord God Almighty. I'm asking you to decide to work not only for Him, but with Him. So many preachers I've known over the years say, I'm going to work for the Lord. I'd rather work with Him than work for Him, if that makes any sense. I need His strength. I need His courage. I need His capability, giving power in my life, and so do you. I don't know what your definition of success is today. I really want to close with this story that I think says it all. George Vandeman writes a book that includes a true story about some mountain climbers climbing the Swiss Alps. One of my most vivid memories of going to Switzerland a few years ago was being in a small town where the cemetery in the town was full of mountain climbers who attempted to climb the Swiss Alps. And the person that was with us that lived there said, these are all mountain climbers who died climbing these mountains. And they would have little things in German written about their climb up such and such Matterhorn. They died on the Matterhorn, or they died at this mountain or that mountain. And I thought, what an illustration, a cemetery full of people who died climbing. There's an illustration there somehow. But here's the story that Vandeman tells. That an inexperienced climber wanted to climb one of the Swiss Alps. He had a guide in front of him. He had a guide behind him. They led him all the way to the summit. And when just before they reached the summit, the lead guide pulled back so that the inexperienced, their guest, their new climber, could climb to the summit by himself. And without even thinking to explain things to him, this climber went up, and when he got to the peak, the absolute apex of the mountain, he stood up, put his arms out, and he felt two sets of hands grab him and pull him to his knees. And they both said simultaneously, on your knees, on your knees. You can only be on the summit on your knees. You can only be on the summit on your knees because of the strong winds that went across the Alps. What an illustration. So many men and women want to get to the summit of whatever their summit is in life, but you can only do that on your knees in prayer before the Lord God Almighty. We don't have the wherewithal to stand on our own and say, it's by my power and by my might I've accomplished it. It's all connected to the Lord. Don't ever forget that. Successful? In whose eyes? hopefully in the one who is the one who says, you look to me and I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. You look at my word and don't turn to the right, don't turn to the left. You meditate on it, you speak it, and you live it and you obey it. Then, T-H-E, and then you will have success and prosperity. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the word today. Thank you for speaking to us in just a powerful way today in both services. This is such a powerful text. Every man in this room today needs this message. Every woman in this room needs this message. We're bombarded by a culture that says, you have the power, you have the strength. Just tap into what you've got. Lord, I found out a long time ago that's a lie from the pit. It's not up to me and it's not up to my power and strength. Everything that we have is a gift, including the ability to earn a living is a gift, your word says. We simply trust and we put our trust, our courage, our strength all in you. We look to you. And then you say, then I will grant that prosperity and success.
Well, all this week you've been listening to the opening message in a new series from the book of Joshua. I hope that you'll tune in next week to Family Talk 131 to Cross Hope to hear part two of this series. God bless you.
You have been listening to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. For more information or to listen to or download a copy of today's message, go to crosshope.org. That web address again is www.crosshope.org. Be sure to tune in each weekday at this same time to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. This program has been a production of Cross Hope Ministries.